Jesus experiences anew the temptation that Israel faced in the wilderness. As the Son of God, he endures the testing of the evil one. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 4th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterward he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you. Amen. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Knowing who you are and whose you are. Knowing who you are and whose you are. Now, most of you should have received our stewardship letter for the coming months. And if you noticed, at the top of that letter was this statement, knowing who you are and remembering whose you are. Now, this question is a question of identity. And in the stewardship program we're entering into for the next few months, it's going to take a look at more than what you give the church. Traditionally, when you hear stewardship in the church, you think, oh good, the church wants more money. But stewardship is so much more than money. Stewardship is our entire lives. Look at our text from Genesis this morning. The very first responsibility God gives to human beings is to till the garden, to care for creation, to be stewards of the earth. And in our steward campaign, we're going to look at 8 aspects: connecting with nature, emotional health, spiritual health, gifts and talents, financial well-being or financial health, nutrition and fitness, social health, and intellectual health. And we're going to look at these and how we can balance those and that we might have a balanced lives for ourselves. A life that is full, where our identities are centered in Christ. Now, your identity and who you are depends on a lot of things, particularly your relationship to things. This includes these 8 aspects, as well as the families of origin that you come from, and the people and communities that you hang out with. Who you are isn't something that you create. It isn't something that you imagine. Who you are, your identity, is something that you receive. Now, for example, if we were to take emotional health, who I am, today, I failed miserably at my emotional health. I was a bit of a hot mess this morning because I let things go yesterday that I should have attended to. And as stress mounted this morning, I became grumpy and unpleasant to be around. Now, on the flip side of that, there were a few of you that did have healthy emotional health, that stepped in and cared for me with kind words and helping with what felt like a burden that was 1 and 3 years old. And I am eternally grateful for that. And I'm able to be pleasant up here this morning because of that, so thank you. So, identity. I'm talking about identity, and I think identity is central to our text today. When we look at our gospel lesson, we have the story of Jesus being led into the wilderness to be tempted. But we can't forget about where Jesus has just come from. Jesus has just been in the Jordan and was baptized. He was named God's beloved Son. And he was filled with the Holy Spirit that was with him in this wilderness journey. 40 days of fasting, 40 days and 40 nights of fasting. That was all concluded with the great three great temptations: survival, the need to eat; affection, testing if God would take care and love Jesus, his son; and power, to have dominion over all the nations. And these are three very significant temptations that you and I face today as well. It's not anything that's new. It's not anything that went away. But these temptations are about more. They're about identity. And in Jesus' temptation, the tempter, the devil, is tempting Jesus' identity. Now, when we look at the text, it reads, "If you are the Son of God." One could also translate that as, "Since you are the Son of God." The devil here is being very poignant in saying, "Since you are the Son of God, you should be able to do this. These things should happen for you." The tempter calls in to question his identity. It's about who he is. And the tempter wants to erode that away. And he wants to erode away at the relationship with God. This is a fundamental challenge with temptation, to drive that stake in between us and God by questioning whose we are. And when we begin to doubt, when that first little speck erodes away, when we begin to doubt whose we are, we begin grasping at anything and everything that will bring us that security that we desire, the survival, the affection, or power, because these are fundamental needs of human beings. This is why Jesus' ministry begins with his baptism. This is where he receives the Holy Spirit, has been named God's beloved. This is Jesus' identity that sees him through these three temptations and will see him through his entire ministry until the ultimate temptation, that he would bear the cross for all of humanity. Now, if we look to Romans 6, Paul writes here about baptism. He writes, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so too we might walk in the newness of life." So we too might walk in the newness of life. Jesus' baptism is our baptism. We too in our baptisms receive the Holy Spirit and are named God's beloved children. This is our identity. Nothing, nothing has authority to question or diminish that. Not any temptation, not anything society tries to tell us, not even well-meaning Christians that question whether our salvation is legitimate. Nothing has authority over what Christ has claimed for us. And God's loving promise for you is permanent. It's permanently determined through that cross. Again, we are God's. That can never be taken away. Christ endured that on the cross. Now this morning we began our worship service with a new practice where we wrote our burdens on slips of paper and cast them into the font. Now whether you physically did this, you desired to do it, or in your mind you thought of your burdens, you cast them into the baptismal waters. An act that symbolically represents this promise Paul has talked about in washing away our burdens. Our burdens are drowned in the baptismal waters, and we arise anew every single day with and in Christ. Remember that. Embrace that promise. Come to the font. Now, we're going to continue to have temptations. This isn't magic. It doesn't just make everything perfect. But we have the promise of God's love. We have that promise that no matter what happens, no matter what burdens we face, and even when we fail to resist them, that is not the final word. Our failure is not the final word. Jesus has the final word. To repent, cast those, be rid of them. Send them, drown them into the font. Your burdens are not your identity. They are not who you are. Now, I may sound like a broken record up here, as I keep saying this over and over again, but this is so critically important. And it's probably one of the most challenging and most forgotten and tested things that we face in our lives. But our story begins with our baptismal identity. It begins and ends with that in Christ. It is Jesus' story. It is our story too. You are God's beloved child. God has received you into God's very own family. This is your identity that will see you through any and all temptations. You have been sealed with the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. Amen.